Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect, families grow, lives change.
You are going to love today's sermon because it's going to identify with where you are right now in 2015. You know, oftentimes a difference maker in our life is one word from God. God has something that he's trying to kind of whittle away on us so that we can become everything he's called us to become. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I have this balloon here right now, is it's sitting here and it's high, right? It just keeps it standing there, no problem, because it's not full of hot air, it's full of helium. It's been designed to inflate, to arise, to lift. It's not even a struggle. Even if I try to push it down, it keeps coming up. We're going to talk more about that in a second. But first, we're going to talk about this balloon. This balloon has no life in it. It has no vitality. Oh, in fact, it's getting ready to have some hot air. I'm a preacher, so you know I can fill this up, right? But it can't stand on its own. It doesn't rise because it's not helium. It's hot air. Actually, the sermon I want to talk to you today has a lot to do with hot air. Actually, I was in Destin, Florida, and we were having this great time with the family, and this has been years ago, so hopefully I've advanced a little bit since then, but maybe I'm still working on it. Nicole had made me mad about something. I forget what it was. We're staying at a condo. It's a rental condo, and I just kind of going to have a pity party, and I'm full of hot air, and I go outside. And I'm sitting outside thinking, is she going to come out here and get me? It's been 20 minutes now. Surely she's coming. And 30, 40 minutes later, I look. They're getting ready to play Monopoly. You know as well as I do, this game can go on for days. I'm like, oh, no. I was sitting out there feeling sorry for myself. In 2015, one of the things that you and I have to get over is this thing that we do called feeling sorry for ourselves. I sit out there and, you know, this makes noise, right? You know, it's like, oh, me. Oh, gosh. What about me? I paid all this money to come to this condo. My kids don't appreciate me. My wife, they don't appreciate me. Nobody loves me. And it's kind of like, I mean, that's just full of hot air. That's what we do when we allow the enemy and the enemy to come in and build a fence, harbor a fence. You know, it was really a revolutionary moment when I went inside after a long time. It's getting dark. It's getting cool. And I walk in and Nicole goes, oh, where have you been? I just registered to me that you weren't in here. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been out there sulking, full of hot air, crying and whining, singing the blues, when in reality, she didn't even know. The person I was wanting to pay, she wouldn't pay it at all. I was paying. That's exactly what we do when we focus and think on the wrong things. That's why the Bible said, take account. Think on what you're thinking about. And so that's what I want to do today, is just talk about in 2015, at the beginning of the year, everybody's talking about fasting. Maybe we should fast pity parties. Maybe we should, I'm not going to think about and cry about what didn't happen, sing the blues, deflate my life, I have no power. I'm going to be like this helium balloon. I'm going to fill myself up with the word, and I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to be upright because God has good and big plans for me. That's why the Bible talks about not harboring offense. I got a scripture I actually want to read to you here, and it's beautiful. Luke 10, verse 38. It's beautiful, beautiful, brutal. I love it. Ed Young also says that. It's brutal. It's part beautiful and part it's brutal. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to the village, and there was a woman named Martha who opened up her home, and she had called her sister Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening. And while she was listening at the Lord's feet, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made, and she came and she asked the Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work myself? I found out that a lot of times when I hear the word I, me, myself, God, nobody's doing it like I am. Sometimes I actually find out that really it's self-absorbed, and being self-absorbed actually is a form of pride. We're in pride. We think we're the only one doing the work, when in reality, maybe there are other people helping. Maybe there's a reason why somebody did or didn't do what it was they were supposed to do or not supposed to do. We have to make a real check here and say, hang on a minute, am I being full of hot air? Am I blowing things up out of proportion? What if we do that? I blew things up all the time. I've had situations to where I knew good and well, when I got home, I was going to gripe about it because I knew it wouldn't be done. I thought, here's the way it's going to be when I get home. Oh, man, I work so hard. Don't you do that? I went to this conference, and I did this, and I did that, and at least you guys could clean up the house. At least we just fill ourselves up blow things out of proportion. Stretch things out way bigger than they're supposed to be. It's getting bigger than me. I can't even see anymore because of this big thing that is happening. And really, it's real small thoughts. And that's exactly what Martha did. She said, "Lord, don't you care?" And with me, it's like, I'm pastor of this church. I work so hard. I preach so much. These people won't even say amen. That's what we do. We go home and we sulk. We're upset. When really God, our Heavenly Father, He said, look, we shouldn't even take any thought. We shouldn't even concern ourselves about the cares of this world. For I care for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares, all your concerns, all your frets, all your anxieties upon me, for I care for you. Let's go back to that story. Mike's noise. And Jesus says this, verse 41, I love it. Says, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things. Many things. Why are you upset about all this stuff that doesn't really matter? You're missing the big picture. You've got Jesus in the house. He's only going to be around for so long, and you're missing the big, grandiose, awesome picture here. And you say, well, if I had Jesus in the house, I mean, after all, I would realize that's a big, not at the time you wouldn't. Jesus is in your house right now. This is the best of our life. 2015 is the year you've been dreaming of. This is the year that you know God's going to do exponential things in your life. And really what God is saying is what He said to her. Listen, David, David, why are you upset about that? That day in Destin, Florida, I was upset about something that was totally stupid. I can't even remember right now, honest to God, what it was I was upset about. That's how big of a deal it was. It's nothing. 20 years from now, or even just a few years from now, in the year of 2020, I like that because 2020, 2020 vision, just a few short years, 2020, we're going to wake up and realize the stuff that we were upset about in 2015. What was that? What was that thing I was blowing out of proportion? What was that thing I was using my mouth for? I noticed too, while I'm blowing this up, I can't talk to you. I'm sidetracked. I'm using my breath for everything but communicating to you. I'm using my breath and wasting my breath for something that really doesn't matter. Just that quick, it goes away. That's what happens when we get upset and we fret and we don't do what God said to do. Let's go back to the verse. He says, and you're upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one thing. And Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen the better part. The best of your life is going to be the rest of your life. But really, that has a lot to do with what we focus on. If we focus on the negativity, if we focus on, I'm going to let them have it. Do you know that most marriages fail? I think one of the reasons why is because men and women get to thinking about what they didn't do, what they should have done. By the way, this is getting easier to blow up now. You know why? Because I keep stretching it out. It was hard at first. Now it's getting really, really easy. The more we stretch ourselves and allow things to get out of proportion, the easier and easier it comes. You can get upset just that quick. It's like, boy, they fly off the handle just that quick. It's because we've allowed the enemy to blow it up out of proportion and make things that are really not that important really important when it's really not that important. I mean, think about this. If years and years and years and years and years from now, Nicole, she's old and beautiful and her hair is turning gray and I'm really old and I think about that time in Destin when she hosed me over. Maybe she goes on to be with the Lord. And I'm sitting here, I guarantee I won't be thinking about that. I'm going to be thinking about the good parts. I'm going to be thinking about the good things. But why do we self-sabotage? Why do we ruin our marriage? Why do we ruin this relationship we have in business? Because we allow the enemy to take us off the main thing, keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus said, listen, she's chosen the good part. Question for you. Are you choosing the good part? Are you blowing things out of proportion? This guy, he's never participated in any of the activities that you and I have been participating in, all this stupid blowing it up. All the ups and downs. I'm full of the word. I'm full of faith. I don't feel it. I'm upset. This thing's made so much noise and it's all stretched out. This guy, stable. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. Stable, reliable, because it's full of something different than this. Choose the good part. That's my question to you right now is, are you choosing the good part? Or are you mulling over on the things that they did to you? I heard of a story about a guy named Carl Eggerson, and he was a 73-year-old South Dakota man, and he was sentenced to life in prison after admitting to murdering a former high school classmate. Everybody was shocked. It hit the national and international news. They were freaked out because this once very successful insurance salesman had snapped. He'd been married to the same wife for over 44 years. Can you imagine that? Never exhibited any signs like this whatsoever. But all of a sudden now, it comes out, this big secret comes out that after 50 years, he had allowed something to simmer that had happened to him when he was in high school. What had happened was this classmate that he killed some 50 years later actually had thrown a jock strap on Carl's head in the high school 50 years ago and then embarrassed him and humiliated him. And can you imagine that 50 years later, I ought to kill him. I know I'm successful and I've been married a long time and I got a successful business, but that dirty, rotten Norman Johnson, it's all on the news. I mean, it's you can Google it. I'm gonna kill Norman Johnson. And one day, after not a lot of noise, nobody knew he had a huge problem. Nobody knew he was really upset, but all of a sudden, boom. He snapped. It was over. It was finished. Bam. He killed the guy in a fit of rage, all because he didn't choose the good part. That's why the Bible said, forget those things that are behind and focus and press forward to the things that are ahead in Christ Jesus. And that's my question right now. Are we going to continue to think about the things that we shouldn't think about? Are we going to think about the things we should think about, which is saying, God, I'm going to pass to the positive. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor. God, if you know the plans you have for me and they're for good, I'm going to focus on those plans. So they embarrassed me. I'm going to let them go. So my pride was hurt. Pride, again, it goes back. Remember we talked about it earlier. Pride keeps us back from really saying things that could heal the situation and could deflate the situation like this. I was wrong. Let's all say it together. Say it. I was wrong. Let's say it one more time for good measure. Shout it loud and strong, all campuses. What? I was wrong. Wrong. Man, that's going to hurt my pride. What? You know what? You can actually be right and say you're wrong. Do you know you can actually be right but act wrong and then therefore be wrong? And that's exactly what God is talking about here. He said, hey, she's left me behind. I'm upset about it. God said, hey, look, she's chosen the good part. May I suggest to you today in this sermon that a lot of times the reason why we're upset and we're resentful and we're full of rage and we're full of hot air and we just want to freak out is because we're actually hiding our feelings. Our feelings and repression of our feelings and all the hurts that we have in ourselves, oftentimes if you read about it, it says it's packing. It's packing. The sad part about it is we have feelings and God created us in the image and the likeness of God and he created us to have feelings, all right? Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He had feelings. He felt, Jesus wept, right? There's feelings, but the feelings are managed. We got to manage our emotions, manage our feelings. In Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle over all the earth. Back to the first part, he said, let us make man in our own image. You are a spitting image of your Father, God. You're a spitting image of love. But when we focus on the wrong thing and we don't control our emotions, yes, we have feelings, but the feelings are supposed to be curbed, not packed, but judged and say, I'm not always going to feel this way. And I'm certainly not going to do like Carl, the guy that we talk about on Google that just lost it after 50 years. He decides he's going to kill the guy. Man, that's some major packing, right? Actually, all the packing of his emotions caused him to pack. And then it caused him to do something crazy in a fit of rage. God created us to have feelings, but he did not create us for an emotional up and down, a roller coaster. God wants us to be happy. He wants to enjoy life, to see good days. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So let's be careful about what we're thinking about, what we're talking about. drama, high school drama. My daughter, she's 11 years old, right? And I've noticed over the last couple of years, we've had only two incidents, which isn't bad, but there were little incidents with her little friends. And like, if you know, you get two, it's good, right? Two's company, three is a what? Yeah, you're right, it's a crowd. Three is a crowd. So we made some of the mistakes of bringing three girls over for a party, right? They're staying over overnight. Well, inadvertently, it was quite amazing that the two would always kind of all of a sudden have a problem with this one. Isn't that what happens? And then next thing you know, they're coming to Mama. Mama, she just did. Oh, God, I don't know what's going on. All this girl drama's going on. Sounds like a duck call, doesn't it? A lot of noise happening. Blah. It's a mess. I noticed that, and I didn't notice it that bad. We dealt with it. But then here about 6 months ago, we had another situation that happened the same way. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It's just unnecessary girl drama. So what I did with Ashton is I talked to her and I said, Ashton, here's the deal. If you talk good about people, it's going to get back to them. If you talk bad about people, it's going to get back to them. And what is happening here is you get offended or that other girl gets offended and they come against the one and now it's blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up. And eventually, if we kept blowing this up massively, it would blow up in my face. You know it. I'm afraid to do it and I don't want to do it, but it would just... That's what happens in childhood drama, high school drama. But you know, the Bible said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put it away. I put it away. You didn't say that somebody else put it away for me. No, I put away childish things. In other words, I'm not going to allow this high school drama to actually come into my life now that I'm 45. Are you kidding me? I'm bigger than that. I have a bigger, broader world view than that. Jesus did. He had the right view, right? He said, Martha, Martha, when God says your name more than once, you're in trouble, right? David, David, come on. Let's get over what currently we're under because we're suppressing and packing instead of saying, no, no, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me. The Holy Spirit, who's he? The Bible said the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the teacher. The Holy Spirit lives and abides on the inside of us. Like right now, this balloon here again, it's full of hot air. For it to expand, it has to have something in it. You have something in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. When you received Jesus as your Savior, what you did is the Holy Spirit came on the inside of your heart and he said, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you into all truths. In Ephesians 4:30, it says this, and it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Now, if I were to seal this, we could seal this deal at whatever size we wanted. That's too small. I'm a big thinker. That's a little better. I can seal the deal, right, by tying it and saying, now what's on the inside is not coming out. It's not going to leak. Now, if I untie it, oh, wait, I better tie it. I want to tie it. I'm not gonna take a chance on letting it leak again. It's over now. I'm not going to be able to play that fun game that I know you're loving where I blow it up and I shoot it at you. Do I really want to do it? I don't know. Do I? I don't know. Let's do it. It's sealed. Nothing that's on the inside is leaking on the outside any longer. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of you. He is leading you. He is guiding you. And many times we leak out that feeling you have right now of like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to let people go. I'm going to go Disney on it. Let it go. Let it go. They won't bother me anymore. Okay, I've got it. I'm doing it. But then we leak because we're not sealed. What happens when we break our seal? Well, then the Holy Spirit begins to leak out, as in the joy. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit himself doesn't leave you, but you're not hearing it any longer. You're not hearing him speak any longer. Psalm 37, verse 9, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Evildoers will be cut off. So those people that are doing you wrong, they're doing evil to you, they're going to be cut off. You're going to look for them, and they're going to be gone. The situation is going to pass. The feelings are going to change. But for us to really enjoy our life and have some stability instead of all that. Remember that noise we had? That flying around the room. Remember all that? We don't have that anymore. Something changed. This balloon will never be the same again. It's impossible. We can't go back. I tied it. You can't untie this. It's over. You've been tied up with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. He's engrafted in you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. That you must realize that the enemy had a plan to defeat you and to have you up and down, but now you're full of the Holy Spirit. You are not controlled anymore by the enemy. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit, and He's leading you and guiding you, and no longer do you have to cry and have a pity party and talk about what didn't happen and why it didn't happen and what was me. We can actually realize, wait a minute, God be for me, who can be against me? God's on my side. His blood has been applied. I'm sticking with it. I'm dusting myself off, and I'm moving forward to God's plan for my life. Come on, give the Lord a hand right now. Come on, just do it. Give Him the place. That's it. Now, I want to go to this next passage. Check this out, Matthew 11:28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Sounds like an infomercial, right? Are you burned out on a religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. You know, I remember when I first started, a little over 10 years ago in the ministry, man, I was running and gunning, we're working really hard, and I didn't know how to really rest. I didn't know how to say, wait a minute, I need to recalibrate my mind because the enemy's working against me, and I've got the pity parties going, but I got the pressures going, and I got the issues going. And then you're trying to think about the future, right? Like you're in 2015 going, okay, where do I want to land at the end of 2015, going into 2016? What are these goals? What are my agenda? What's my perspective? What's happening? And so we never take time to rest. And I was with a guy, a friend of mine, and we were at his place, and he had a beach home, and the Caymans were walking around the beach, and he could tell I was kind of restless, and I actually was so tired and so emaciated and so exhausted. My balloon was completely deflated by the time I got there. I couldn't even carry my suitcase up the stairs to the, to the condo. He is 20 years older than me, maybe 25. He has to carry them. That's how weak I was. I'd preached so much, went so hard, and God's dealing with me about that even now, talking about and discovering, like we are today, the power of video. I mean, the adrenaline, the flight, the fight and flight, people want you here and there, and God's like, no, you can preach this sermon and communicate to them, and the Holy Spirit does the work. You don't have to do it. Just rest. We read it a minute ago, right? Are you worn out? Are you tired? Rest. And I was learning then the art, the technique, the science of doing what you know God's telling you to do, not based on what the people are saying or what the people want. You know, people will work you to death. They'll drive you crazy, and you'll just be in a fit of rage, and you'll wear out, and you'll die early unless you get into God's rhythm. And that guy on that beach that day, very wise man, he said these words. He said, you got to take time to sharpen your axe. I want you to write that down right now, and I want you to actually say that with me, sharpen your axe. Let's say it together, class. What? Sharpen your axe. One more time. What? That's good. I read later in a story when I kind of Googled that, it said there's two guys, and one guy was chopping wood, and it was taking all day, and the other guy, he was taking a break. And he said, what in the world are you doing taking a break? He said, oh, you keep chopping and chopping. He said, I just sit over here and I was kind of sharpening my axe, took a little break. And by the end of the day, the guy who stopped, took a break, sharpened the axe. He had cut 20% more wood than the other guy because he took time to think about what he was doing. He said, I'm going to relax here and I'm going to rest here and I'm going to say, wait a minute, I've got to sharpen my axe. And that's what you're doing today by coming to church. You're hearing the word. You're sharpening your axe. Yeah, you could go to work and be dull like everybody else and get into politics and shoot off emails and get aggravated and blow up the balloon and come down. Or you could tie up the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and say, no, you're not going to leak anymore. I'm not going to be looking at how fast I can go, how fast I can run. Oh, I got to stick up for my own right. I got to give them a piece of my mind. No, I'm just going to chill and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit has it in control. He approves of me. He validates me. And I understand that I'm not going to do this thing in the flesh. Do you know, if you fight fire with fire, I heard that the other day that they said that maybe we should do what the fire department does. They use water. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If we're always in the flesh, blowing things up out of proportion, we're about to burst. It's not God's plan for our life. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. Learn of me. It's easy. Don't freak out. Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. You might be here today going, my gosh, I'm in church today and I'm troubled about a whole lot of things. You know who you are. You're worrying about stuff that is never going to happen. That situation is not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. I prophesy that to you. God's going to turn this thing around. He's working behind the scenes right now. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. If God be for you, who and what can be against you? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him. God's got this in control, but he wants us to rest. So why are we troubled when Jesus himself's going to go, Jimmy, Jimmy, Arden, Arden, Phil, Phil, Mary, Mary, just chill. Allow God to do what only he can do because his loving kindness and his favor is toward you. Psalms 119, 164. 7 times each day I stop and shout praises for the way you keep everything running right. For those who love what you reveal, everything fits. No stumbling around in the dark for them. I wait expectantly for your salvation. God, I do what you tell me. My soul guards and keeps all your instructions and how much I love them. I follow your directions. I abide in your counsel. My life is like an open book before you. That's what we need to do. We need to say, wait a minute, God, I'm really waiting expectantly on your salvation. I know that you guard my heart. And then we need to start looking at ourselves with some consistency, much like this guy. The whole time, the one that was filled with helium wasn't up and down, didn't make a lot of noises, and wasn't in denial. It didn't withdraw itself from any conversations. It didn't have self-isolation. It didn't have pent-up emotional pain. It wasn't packing and packing. Sometimes even silence speaks volumes. Maybe, you know, the person at work, or you might be that person when you walk in the room, it's like, what's bothering you? Nothing. Just quietness. So you know, silence speaks volumes. We must sit here and say, wait a minute. 2015 is the year for me to grow up, to fast the pity party, to stay consistent like this guy. Not that, remember, up and down, making noise, flying around the room once the balloon just chucked off right at you. I mean, that's what we do when we're in the flesh. But this right here, this is who we're called to be. The Holy Spirit's tied this thing up. He sealed us. His blood, there's a reason why this balloon is red. We're saying that the blood of Jesus has redeemed us, has revived us, has restored us. Read the red in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus spoke. And find out the things he said, like that scripture we said earlier. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. My yoke's easy, burden's light. If it's heavy and you're blowing up and you're freaking out, you're not really enjoying your life, I want you to change that today. 2015 is your year to have stability, emotional stability. Now you're not running to the addiction any longer. You're not running to your friends to have that little teenage drama mama thing going on. You're saying, no, I put away childish things. My best days and my blessed days are out ahead of me. Let it drop, leave it, let it go, and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. I know this sermon today was a word right to you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. God's looking at you right now. God's saying, look, I spoke to you today here at church, sitting here, all campuses, wherever you're at, you're watching online, you're watching on television. God did a work. Let God see your hand. If you say, Pastor, listen, man, I understand. I've been off the wagon. I've been blowing up. I've been making too much noise. Raise your hand. Let God see that. You want to change that today. Let's see that hand. Let God see it everywhere. He sees it. You can put it down now. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me be stable, be a forgiver. I, Lord, don't want to make big deals out of little things. I'm going to pass to the positive so that I can enjoy you. And I choose the good part. One more time. I choose the good part. Now, look at me. Choose the good part today. All this next week, choose the good part. Say, I'm not going to be up and down. Maybe you need to get a balloon today and blow it up and put it in the seat next to you in traffic. Maybe you need to put a little blow up balloon next to your desk. I know some of you might be thinking right now, no, I'm going to get a helium balloon that says get well soon, and I'm going to give it to the guy that's driving me crazy. That's not where we need to go. Well, let's do something this week to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit's in charge, and we've had a tendency before to pack it, get emotional, have pity parties, but those days are over in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a great big praise for his word today.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
We open that family's grow lives a change.